talk today, it made me think of a story that happened once, actually in 2020. There was some funny things that happened in 2020. There were some crazy things that happened in 2020. And this is a story that happened on October 24th, 2020. So you're thinking that's a little late into the pandemic, right? We were doing things at that point, I think. I don't overly remember. But we had Serve Day here at Victory Harvest Church, 2020, October 24th. Y'all remember that? Probably not. But we were here. There was a crowd of us here. And man, we had all kinds of stuff going on. This, if you're not familiar with Serve Day, we have lots of groups, lots of things. And that year I was coordinating it. So I was coming into that and I was busy. Anybody busy? Anybody feel a little tired? Anybody got a lot going on? Well, that's how I felt that day. I had a lot going. And we showed up and we're going and I'm like trying to help this group and help this group. And we had this one group where we were cooking pastalaya. And I don't mean like 20 plates. I mean like 300 plates. It was a big old pot. It was awesome. And we were going to bring it out and bring it to, we brought it to the homeless. We brought it to several places that serve in our community. And one of the places we were going to bring it to was BRPD, Baton Rouge Police Department headquarters. We're just going to bring it there. Just bless all the men and women who were working that Saturday. Pray for them, talk to them, just whatever the Lord led. And so the morning started early for me. I get here, I'm blowing, I'm going, get all the groups out. And that was the last group here because they were cooking and then we packaged it and we're sending them. You go here, you go here, you go here. It's like, yeah, I'll go to BRPD. Sounds good. So us, me and three other cars, we head towards BRPD and here I am pulling into BRPD. And I look and there's the main entrance, right? You know, the old woman's hospital. It's a nice little overhang. And there are three police officers standing there. Perfect. They're waiting on me. Oh, yeah. The other side of the story, October 24th, 2020, BRPD host Drug Take Back Day. Guess who didn't know that? Drug Take Back Day. No questions asked. You can bring us an awesome service they provide to the community, right? Well, when I spoke to the lieutenant, it was like, yeah, they'll be there. You'll see somebody. Just go up. They'll tell you what to do. Blah, blah, blah. Awesome. So I drive up. I get out. And I'm trying to like, I want to bless these people, right? I'm trying to be in a good mood. And I'm like, I am so glad we are able to do this. We brought a lot. Like, a lot. Yes, sir. A whole lot. I have a whole trunk full. And I point it back at my car. And about that time, here come the rest of the church members, three other cars. And I promise you, I told this police officer, and you know what? That one, and that one are full too. I wish I was making this up. And this guy looks at me and he's like, he's staying calm. And he goes, let's walk around and open up the trunk. And so we walk around the trunk and he said, hey guys, y'all come over here. We're going to need some help. I don't know what. And sure enough, he opened the trunk and that smell of pastalaya, he was like, oh man, this is food. You had me. What in the world? Why do you have all this food? And so we began to talk and we figured the whole thing out. I did not get arrested. It was, you ever think you know what's going on? I thought for sure, like I talked to the lieutenant weeks leading up, not this guy, but somebody else leading up. I thought I knew. I was doing everything I could. I really thought, is it possible? This is my question I want you to begin to think about. Is it possible there's some things in your life you don't understand? Ooh. Is it possible there's some things, some information you might not have? Something going on. Is it possible that God could be working out something way bigger than you could possibly imagine? When I said that one, some of us might say, well, that's a little possibly. I can imagine some big stuff. Is it possible that you might have missed something? Is it possible that he might be working out something way, way bigger than you could possibly imagine? I want to look at four short prayers as we read. We're going to be reading through Luke 5 in just a few moments, but we're going to look at four short prayers together. And they're just prayers that I, for me personally, as I read this text, I pull them out and I say, Lord, this is what I need. This is what I've seen in my life. And if we could, I'd just like to pray before we start. So if we could all bow our heads and pray, let's pray. Lord, We come to you right now, Lord, and we ask that you speak, you move, God, through this text. You show us what you want to show us, God. So many situations, so many people, so many things going on that I certainly can't imagine them all. And so, Lord, we submit to you today. We submit to your Holy Spirit. We submit to your word. And we ask, God, that you move. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to get started. Like I said, we're going to be in Luke 5. So we're just going to get the story going here. And what's happening here in Luke 5 is Jesus has been teaching. He's been performing miracles. There's a lot of things going on, right? Jesus has been going. Now he's starting to gather crowds, lots of people. And here we come to a point where this crowd has apparently come to the edge of a body of water. And we're going to pick it up. And we're going to read a little bit about Jesus and what he's doing, but then we're going to introduce some new characters here in a moment. So here we go. Luke 5. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him, listening to the word of God. This isn't really a part of the sermon, but I love that. They just couldn't do anything else. They just wanted to hear the word of God. Jesus was speaking, and these people were like, they just wanted to be gathered around. Next verse, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were fishing, who were washing their nets. He got up into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught from the boat. Sounds like a pretty normal story, right? Just kind of. And too often I do that as well. When I read the Bible, it's like, a guy in a boat, Jesus, you know, water, talking. It's just so normal. But what I want you to see here is there's already some details that just like, what is that about? And I think there's a lot to the story. I know it speaks to me deeply. I pray it does to you today. Let's go ahead and zoom in. We're going to look at a few verses at a time. We're going to look at verse 3. Watch this. He, this is Jesus, got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked to put out a little from shore. Is that a little backwards? Jesus got into the boat first, and then he said, can I use this boat? Why don't you try that today at Walmart? Somebody's loading up their groceries, you go hop in their car. It's not going to be good, okay? I can tell you right now. That is not normal etiquette, right? But Jesus seems to do this today. Whatever's going on here, he just walks up, gets in the boat. Hey, Simon, I need this boat. You think it's possible that Simon could have been a little bit like, bro, you're in my boat. What are you doing? Like, I don't know. There could have been, you know, but when you look at it from that perspective, yeah, it sounds offensive. It sounds wrong. But I can think of so many scenarios as a parent where I'm looking at my child and I'm stepping in the boat. They didn't ask. I didn't ask first. I just kind of stepped in the boat. And that is what's going on today is Jesus stepped into his boat right here and there, not because he's rude, not because he's on a power trip. Because he loves Peter. Sorry, I'm going to do that all day. Simon and Peter, same person. He loves Simon. He loves Simon, and that's the reason why he steps into the boat. And that brings us to our first prayer of the day, a prayer that you can hopefully say, a prayer that you can hopefully take with you. It says, help me, Lord, to trust you, even when I didn't ask. Even when I didn't ask. That's hard. You're going along in life, doing your thing. Maybe you're good, bad. I don't know. Whatever's going on in life. And suddenly, Jesus steps into your boat. Somebody's like, I don't have a boat. Yes, you do. Okay, we're talking about figurative boats here. All right. You see, a good father looks at their child. They know their child. They know what's going on. And they step in that situation. If they saw a child who was in danger, do you think they might ask first? I'm like, hey, can I, you mind if I? No. If there was something really great for this child, something in the future that they just couldn't, like, sometimes as a parent, it's the loving thing to do to just step into that boat. To just step into that boat. And what I'm saying to you today is Jesus has stepped into your boat. You might not have asked for it, but he's there. He's not rude. He's not mean. He has stepped into your boat because he loves you. He loves you. He knows your story. He knows all the things going on. And even though you didn't ask, he stepped on in. You know, this story has so many details in it, and we are kind of like zooming in on certain portions, but these are the ones that just spoke to me personally. There's a lot of other things that you could pull out. We're going to go back a little bit and look at verse 2. So here in verse 2, we see, we'll go ahead and read it. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were what? What were they doing? They're washing their nets. What was Simon doing? We'll read a little bit later in the story, but we'll know that once Simon is a fisherman. This is his job. And as a matter of fact, he had worked the whole night before. The whole night before. See, Simon had so much going on. You might miss that from the story. Like, this isn't just a guy who was just laying around on his hammock. Simon was busy, I think. And when Simon, so before, you know, Jesus steps in the boat, before he even asks that question, I want you to be realizing Simon's busy. And he asks that question, and Simon's response is awesome. He says yes, ultimately, right? He says yes, ultimately. And so this is the second prayer for the day that we'll read. Second prayer says this: help me to trust you even when I'm busy. I saw those hands earlier. I know who's busy. No, we're all busy. I know that. We're all busy. I heard a quote when I was probably, 13 or 14, and I used to hear it all the time from my youth pastor, and just stuck in my head. It says, if the devil can't get you, he'll just get you busy. And then he'll get you. It's true, though. In our busyness, we can miss God. In our busyness, we can miss what God is doing around us, what God is trying to do in your life. And this day, I want you to see that Simon, he had had a long day and he was doing something. It was time to go home. He was washing his net. He was ready to go. I need a nap, right? Maybe next week. Like, this is like a bad time. Maybe over there, there's some other boats, but I have a lot going. Like, it's not going to work out well. I have something coming up in like 2 months. And so really, I just kind of push through that. But once I'm done with that, I'm yours, Jesus. I've said it. I've let my busyness get in the way. And I love Simon's response today. Yeah, I'm busy. You can use my boat. That did require him to stop, by the way. He didn't just say like, yeah, you do it. Like, reading the story, he had to go put him out into the water. He had to stop what he was doing. Lord, help me to trust you even when I'm busy. So this is the first part of the story, right? It's not too big of an ask so far. So far, he's just saying, hey, I know you're a little busy. Maybe a little tired. And I've already stepped in your boat. You didn't ask, but can I use your boat? So maybe that's kind of not so big of an ask, but what's going to happen here is Jesus is going to ask something again in a moment. Let's go ahead and read it. Moving on to verses 4 and 5. Let's read it together. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we have worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. Whew. That's a long time. So now it's starting to get real. Not only can I use your boat, but now, like, I know you fished all night and I know you've done all this, but can you go out a little further and throw your net out? Are you seeing it? Are you seeing, like, you ever felt that before? Like, somebody asked you one thing, you're like, all right, this one thing. Now you didn't ask me another. Jesus, I'm going to have to clean the nets again if I throw them out. Who in here has pulled an all-nighter? I'm not talking about, I went to bed at 10:30. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, 1 o'clock, 3 a.m., 4 a.m., 6 a.m., 7 a.m. rolls around. You're like, let's go. That's horrible. I'm going to go ahead and tell you, this is the worst thing ever. I avoid that at all costs. That is, whew. Maybe Simon had a nap before he went to work the day before, but we know this much. Simon says, we worked hard. How long? All night. I want you to empathize with this poor guy here, okay? He had been working all night. And not only had he been working all night, what? They didn't catch anything. That's like my whole life story as a fisherman. But this guy is an actual fisherman. This is apparently his career. That's bad. What happens if you're a fisherman and you don't have fish? You ain't got no money. And no food. Can you imagine how frustrating? You throw that in the water at 10:30, 1 a.m. I'm pretty sure at 2 a.m. I'd be out. I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now. Like, they all night, they fished. Nothing. They caught nothing. I think at this point, Simon may have just been feeling like this whole fishing thing, it's out of my control. Like, I've put the net in the water and the fish, like, I've been doing this all night. We've caught nothing. Jesus, like, I already know what's going to happen. I'm going to put the net in the water. Nothing's going to go in it. I'm going to pull the net back out, be just as tired, go on shore and wash it again. I already know what's going to happen. This brings us to our third prayer for the day. It says, help me to trust even when I cannot control the outcome. That's hard. That's hard. I think we all want to control. Some of us a little more than others. We all have that. Be honest with yourself. We all have that. We love to do something if we feel like, oh, let's do it, because you know exactly what the outcome is going to be. But you ever been in the place where you just, I can't control that. And I want you to hear me today. I want you to hear this. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. I know that's hard to hear. I know it's hard for me to hear. Outcome is God's responsibility. Obedience is yours. And just like Simon, I know I can go ahead and start spinning up those wheels. Gotcha. That was a cute little quote, but you don't understand. You don't understand. I understand. I know what's going on. I've already figured this out. I've already tried all night, all week, the last years and years. Years, right? For some of the stuff I know you guys have walked through or are going through now. But when Jesus comes to you and says, would you throw out the net one more time? Help me, Lord, to trust you even when I can't control the outcome. Help me, Lord. Let's look at Simon's response to this. We're going to read a little further. So this is the same verse. We're going to be looking, camping out through this verse. I know it's a little confusing, but it's the same verse. And we've just highlighted something different here. It says, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. That's where we just ended. Here comes his response. But because you say so, what? I will let it down. Oh man, could that be my response? Even though I've tried, even though I've already seen what happens when I do that, Lord, because you say so. Everybody say that. Because you say so. One more time. Because you say so. Some of us need to memorize that. I know I do. Not because I say so, not because I think so, not because someone else says so. Because you say so, Lord. I will let down the net. I will let down the net. We're going to highlight some different verses here. Let's go to the next highlighting of it. And I want to pull out some more details because for me, again, as I read this verse, there's just so much that I'm like, yeah, that's me. That's me. Let's read these and look at these details. It says, put out into the deep water and let down the nets for a catch. Master, we've worked hard all, how long? All night. But because you say so, I will let down the nets. I want to focus here on the nets for just a moment. You see, because this whole story started with a fisherman who was just washing his net. Okay. And then the story went, and he was busy. I guess I can pause. That's fine. We'll pause for a minute. But then it was, you want me to go out here and like, more, like I've already done this. But now here's the part where I want you to understand. Simon is a fisherman, and he was fishing at night on purpose. That's apparently how they did it back then, right? The fish were less active. That's how the nets worked, whatever. But he was a pro. This was his job. And so logically speaking, I know I do this, and I think some of us in this room do as well. Jesus comes to us and says, it's time to let down the nets. And I'm like, have you read the latest article? Are you serious? what? No. Like, that doesn't make sense, God. Like, what you're saying, I know the facts, and what you're saying, it's not the time. Like, last night was the time to let out the nets. Right now is daytime. They're active, and apparently they're not here. Okay? So I already got this fishing thing going on here. Simon was probably thinking very logically. I had to think so. As a fisherman who knows how to fish, you talk to some fishermen. You ever talk to a fisherman who didn't know where the fish was? And we'll go around over there by a log next to the stump. And you go over there, nothing. Yeah, nothing. Again, that's my life story. I like fishing, but I can't catch a fish. Anyways, you know, God begins to speak to us about our kids or our spouse or your job. I already got this. Like, I know my kid. I know what's going on. Like, that's not going to work, God. Or like, I know my spouse. And if I were to say that, this is the response. And like, my job, God, I've been doing this for 20 years. What do you mean? Like, I've seen how that happens with the other guys. You call me to do this, Lord? The economy, you want me to like, well, I don't understand the economy, but, you know, Fox News and CNN said this. So like, hey, no way, God. You call me to do that? That don't make sense. And here's the fourth prayer for the day. Help me, Lord, to trust you even when I don't understand. That's hard. You see, that day, Simon had a bunch of logical reasons why you should not cast out the net. It doesn't make sense. He could have logicked his way through that and said, Jesus, let's talk. Okay. You're teaching, great. You teach, I'm not teaching. You rabbi, yeah, that's good. I'm the fisherman, and bad advice. Sorry, can't throw the net out. And I want you to hear this as well. You don't have to understand completely in order to obey immediately. Oh, that's hard. Especially for us logic folk. You do not have to understand completely. God's going to call some things in your life sometime that just, they might not make sense to you. You say, Lord, why? Why, Lord? I'm tired. I've been doing this a long time. Like, I've been going, I've been doing, like, why would you call me to do that? I don't understand. I already know what's going to happen when I do that. You don't have to understand completely in order to obey immediately. And that's the key this morning. When God calls us, because he says so, when he says so, we must obey. It's real easy to say on the stage. It's a whole lot harder to live it out. Amen? It's a whole lot harder. See, I want you to see today that we all have nets. We all have boats. They could be in, I can't name every area, right? I don't know where God's calling you to trust, what God's calling you to do. I can't even begin to guess at it. You know, maybe it's in the area of your finances. Maybe it's in the area of your kids or your marriage or your job or your friendships. I don't know. But when he says so, when he calls us, we have to stop all of this stuff that begins to just well up in us. Like, oh, I could come up with so many reasons why I cannot trust you right now, God. But look what happens. Look what happens next here in verse 6. So when they had done so, when they had put out the nets, they caught such a large number of fish that what? Their nets began to break. So they signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled up to their boats so much that the boat began to sink. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine? Like, what a miracle. He was going to throw it out. And he had already decided it wasn't going in the nothing's going to happen. And he does a miracle here. I think it's a miracle. Learn to see those miracles in your life. I know things sometimes will happen. And I'll throw that net out and be like, it's a new technique I'm working on. No, it wasn't. It was the Lord. It was the Lord who moved in this guy's life. What a miracle. But there's a little something else here that I want you to see as the story progresses. You see, the miracle was so great that the nets began to what? Break. And the boats began to sink. We all have nets. We all have boats. This was his literal nets and boats that day that he knew everything about. He knew all. He understood what was going on. And this miracle, this power of God was so strong. The miracle was so great that the nets and the boat couldn't even handle it. Amen? Couldn't even handle it. But the story is not over yet. The story isn't done yet. You see, this story is not actually about boats and nets and fish. There's something way bigger. There's something going on in Simon's life. When Jesus stepped into his boat that day, I believe with all my heart that Jesus knew. He's looking at his son. He's looking at his daughter. He's looking at you today. And he knows the future. He knows all things. And he's stepping into your boat today. And I am. I'm praying for great things in your life. Lots of fish. Oh, but I promise you there's so much more than fish. If there was, the story could have maybe ended and gone and been like, Jesus, you want a job? Like, we can sell a lot of fish. We can get 7 boats. And, you know, really, like, nope, that's not how the story goes. The point of the story was not, look how profitable, look how good, look how awesome my net and my boat is. Let's read it. Simon's response. When Simon Peter, that could be a whole sermon in itself. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. For he and all of his companions were astonished at the catch they had taken. They're moved deeply right here. They're moved deeply. Look at Jesus' response. Then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, what? You will fish for people. Oh. So they pulled their boats up on the shore, and they left everything and followed him. This is the act of ultimate surrender. They left everything. You could put so much trust in the nets and the boats and all that, but those are fleeting. Today, we need to put our trust fully in God. God was calling something deep into Simon. You know, if you know the story, if you're familiar with it, this is actually the calling of the first 3 disciples who would end up being in the inner circle with Jesus. They would do so many great things for the kingdom of God that we probably don't even know it all, right? It's incredible. And it all started from a simple act of trust, a simple act of obedience. Can I use your boat? Would you go and throw out the net? Because you say so, Lord. Yes, I will. I pray that is our response today. Yes, I will. If you would, go ahead and stand to your feet. We're going to sing together. Yeah, just stand up right there. We're going to pray and sing. And I just want to take a few moments, just a few moments of reflection. Just to pray. To say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? What trust have I been holding back from you, Lord? What obedience have I not followed through on? So if you would, just close your eyes and begin to pray. We're going to sing this song from worship that we sang earlier. So come on, let's just sing together and worship and pray.
I trust in God, my Savior.
Sing that again. I trust.
I trust in God, my Savior. You're the one who will never fail. He will never fail. Perfect submission. Holy
believe with all my heart. There is all, I can't even name the number of situations in this room. The things that are going on, the difficulties, the things that might have been going on for years, for weeks, for months, whatever it is, God. And you're calling us into a deeper relationship with you. You're calling new purposes into our life today. And I just want to remind you right here. He's doing that because he loves you. He knows your story more than you do. He knows you better than you do. You ever thought about that? He knows your past. He knows right where you are right now. And I believe in the mighty name of Jesus, he knows where you can be in the future. Oh, he loves you. Can't even describe to you how much he loves you. So whatever it is that's going on in your life today, begin to pray. Begin to think that through this week as we go. Jesus, we trust you. But if we could just bow our heads for just a moment. Maybe you're thinking that you've never even trusted in Jesus to begin with. Maybe this whole thing sounds odd to you. Why would I trust in Jesus? And today, by the hearing of his word and what's going on, you begin to say, I need to trust in Jesus for that first time. I see that he loves me and I see that he cares for me and I've been running and I've been going and I want that to change today. I want to trust in Jesus maybe for the first time. If that's you, we're going to pray here in a moment. You're not going to have to come up front. You're not going to have to raise your hand. We're just going to pray together. And this can be your moment. This can be your time where you're walking this direction. You're going this one way in your life and you say, I don't want that, Lord. I want you. And you turn. You turn towards him and you run with open arms and say, Jesus, I trust you. So if we could, church, let's pray together. Jesus, we come to you today. I trust you. For the first time, I trust you. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. Thank you, Jesus, that you rose again. Thank you that you separated sin from me. Thank you that you love me. I give you my life, Lord. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Amen. Come on, let's clap for the Lord today. Isn't he good?